Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to do episode number 452 today, and we are deep in my comfort zone. We're going to talk about what is how to rank in 2025 for real estate SEO. This is literally what I do for a living. I eat, breathe it. I have hundreds of clients inside this space, and I've worked inside this space for 16 years. So normally we would call in an expert, but I probably am one of the better people to call if ever you are interested in this specific subject. So here we are doing an episode inside my comfort zone. Now, before we get started, though, my co-host is the person that's been so generous to set this up. He chose it. I had nothing to do with it. You can ask him. And actually, you know what? Now that I said that, John, please tell the audience, did I have anything to do with this subject?
Well, no, I thought it was a time that we touched it. We kind of skim around it quite a bit, don't we? That I thought it was time that we had a bit of a hardcore. But this is going to be intro because we could do a series. We could do a whole season on this particular subject, couldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those that may not be familiar with you entirely or may only caught one or two of our shows, why don't you give a little wind up to who you are and why we're doing a MailRite podcast in the first place?
Yeah, thanks for that, Rob. Well, I'm the joint founder of mail-right.com. We're a platform very like Real Geeks, but better value. You get better service from us. And we also can give you a fantastic website that you own based on WordPress. So if that sounds interesting, then it should go over to the MailRight website. Back over to you, Rob.
All right. And my name is Robert Newman. I'm the founder of Inbound REM. I got my start in the real estate marketing industry working for Agent Image, and I had been running very large call centers. And they hired me on to first kind of lead a new sales division. They actually gave me my run of the place once we did a little trial. And I decided I want to do an online marketing division, and we built one out for Agent Image. So since the very first minute I set foot in real estate, I've been doing online marketing and specifically to real estate agents. And so, and most of the online marketing that I've been selling has been SEO or organic marketing. There's been all sorts of offshoots, social like you, John, and all sorts of other things that I've done over the years, video editing and things like that. But it all comes down to the actual marketing part. So real estate SEO, how to rank in 2025. Practical, and I'm reading from what John wrote here. Practical SEO guide for real estate agents in 2025. Unlock strategies to boost your listings, track clients, and dominate search results. You know, it's funny because we have this exciting intro, and yet the actual things that we do don't really change much. The subjects matters that John wrote are still the same, and honestly, they're going to remain the same. It's not going to be much different. So number one on the list is keyword strategy. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about, John, you know I can just go. I could do all 30 minutes and barely breathe. So I'm giving you a spot to jump in here.
Well, I'm going to attempt to rein in your enthusiasm because this could get really techie and we lose most of the audience really quickly. So I'm going to attempt to control your enthusiasm. So keyword strategy, producing content where there's no search intent, i.e. people are not searching for that content that you're producing, is to some extent going to be a waste of time, or you're not going to get the results that you're looking for. So you really need to do some research around what people are looking for. In a kind of local regional, that's going to be a little bit hard because a lot of the tools, you just won't have the search volume to make a choice. But on the other hand, you don't have to do too sophisticated. You can look at the national trends, and I'm sure Robert will give you some tips about how you find the right keyword search terms and strategies. And because most of the people you're up against, if they're not hired somebody like Robert and his agency, they're not going to probably, you're going to be in the top 20% anyway, because you actually have listened to this podcast and hopefully you've listened to some others and you've gone to Robert's website. So just knowing about this puts you in the top 20%. I think you would agree with that, would you?
Yeah. So I would agree with that. And let's talk about some of the ways that the search is changing. I just did the search, best places to find a home in Los Angeles, and I got an AI overview at the very top of the page. I got a few links, attributions, where all of the snippets are being taken from the AI. That's the place that AI is improving, is that there's attribution for the content, at least in Google's version, which is my favorite version because they're actually honoring the people creating the content. So, but guess what? John said I was going to give you a hack for keywords, and I am. Because when you get past the AI snippet and you get past the areas to live in, which is the next thing that's served up, you do get people also ask, which is something that's featured in almost every single Google search that there is. And search has gotten so much simpler that because everybody was already trained on a more antiquated way of doing search, when I explain the new way, John, everybody gets confused. Search is now 100% semantic. That just means that Google has broad subjects that it throws most search into regardless of the keywords that you target. I can't put it any simpler than that. We can say best places to find a home in Los Angeles, but also finding a home in Los Angeles will yield the same pages, basically. Google just decides what page is best for many subjects and sends everybody there. It's been pushing for a long time for people to write longer, deeper content, and the web complied. So actually, usually one blog post is a good answer for like the top 10 places to live in Los Angeles. So people also ask is, where is the best home in Los Angeles? What is the best place to live in Los Angeles? How to get a house in Los Angeles? And where is the cheapest and safest place to live? The people that search best place to find a home in Los Angeles, those are the other keywords that they use. There is no reason for you to do additional research if you were a novice content creator. There's just not. You would just find broadly the topic that you're interested, you type it in, and you look at the subsection of subjects and make sure that you write or say or film something that falls into those categories. I can't make keyword research any easier for those people listening to the show. Now, when you are a medium to advanced user of the search engines and you have some experience understanding how Google is going to send like traffic into content, that is when tools that we could talk about become really useful. And there's many, many keyword research tools that fall into the useful category when it comes to doing research, some of which will help train you the same way that I've done on the podcast. The problem with tools, John, and the problem with the information age in general, because I have like 15 things on my list to study right now, and I have studied none of them because I just want to hit my head against the desk about how much stuff I have to learn as a founder. And it is jaunting. So I haven't done it. And I know many people are just like me. I'm not alone. So everybody's like, hey, desk, when you say SEO, keyword research, whatever, whatever. So my advice is keep it to the simple strategy that I just told you. And it will take you 5 minutes to apply it. You cannot, even I would say, okay, if I could really do it in 5 minutes, I'm in. All right. Which leads us very seamlessly into number two, content strategies. I'm gonna pick this up and let you go, John. Okay, because I've got something I'm hot to share right now. Content strategies. Listen, John's probably going to give you the technical version of content strategies. I'm going to shock everybody and not give you the technical version. Content strategies to me are like so much of SEO Google has gotten so much better at rewarding people that make good content with good traffic.
Actually, I was going to say something very simplistic, actually. I've just fired him. I apologize. I haven't done that very often. I'll give him some slack, Rolf. I haven't done it. I didn't mean to do it. Just threw it there.
So, listen, content strategy is about, so user engagement is where SEO is at. It is, that's it. And Google has gotten so much better at rewarding people who are making good content with good traffic, which is what I was trying to say before John interrupted me. All right.
I like comment.
Okay. Like comment. And here's the thing about talking about stuff. You have to be passionate. And if you're passionate about the subject that you're talking about, it's very likely that you'll make a reasonably good piece of content. And if you like something that people can engage with that they want to hear or see, Chris Dumaisher and all these people have made a very good living off explaining how to be a funny person and then do funny videos and create interest that way. I never tell my clients to do that. What I focus on is what you're passionate about, whether that's walking your dog, the neighborhood that you live in, swimming, fishing, flying, boating. It does not matter, because so much of real estate is lifestyle based these days. That's what people really lean into realtors for. So really what you're looking at is, do I have any interests that I can talk about online in the area that I live in? And if you have none, I would ask the question, why did you choose real estate as your profession? Like, because you should have some interest that in the local. And if you didn't have them when you became a realtor, you should develop them as a realtor so that you then have something to, one, service your clients with better, and two, something to talk about online. There is so much, every single one of you, even like little teeny tiny cities like Tubac, which is the smallest city that I serve. I have a client with in a city of 5,000 people, and we have so much to talk about. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's desert town. You understand what I mean when I say that. It's close to you up there in Reno, and there's not that much to do unless you are a desert lifestyle person, like riding horses, taking pictures of snakes and cactuses, and I can go on and on. No. I'm not kidding.
I take pictures of my steaks all the time. Don't ever go at me, mother.
So that's my advice for content strategy, is find something that you're really deeply into. And it does relate to SEO, because if you can talk about it with some kind of passion like I can for SEO, you will have a very good chance of engaging your audience. All right, John, take it away. You've been bubbling up at the surface. Let's hear your very simple thing that you wanted to say.
Yeah, just it's called empathy, folks. It's putting yourself in other people's shoes. It's not writing about your achievements. It's about putting your mind in the mind of your clients and writing down half a dozen things that they would want to know about, and then putting those in search, and then looking at the competition, and then writing something that gives a bit more value than the competition. End of story. There's a lot more to it, but fundamentally, a lot more, but the fundamental piece is that, and a lot of people overthink it, but you've got to put yourself into the mind of your clients. What are the things that they want to know?
And if you don't know that, ladies and gentlemen, and there's nothing wrong if you don't, then my first exercise as a realtor would be getting into the mind of people that are buying and selling real estate. And I would do that any way possible. I would go to open houses and not with the intent of generating leads. I'd go there with the intent of meeting people who are buying, selling houses and developing a series of questions. Like, for those of you that are younger in real estate, I envy you, because you could get away with the, hey, I'm a student and I'm doing a study. I'm just researching what home buyers are concerned with today. can I just ask you a couple of questions as long as we're here? And maybe you've got to get the permission of the realtor. I don't know. But one way or the other, like, go to model homes, go to developers, go to places where people would be interested in even having a very young, inexperienced real estate salesperson there. Figure it out. Go, you know, hang out on the floor of your realtor brokerage and stay there and do your homework until somebody walks to the door. And then you ask them questions. Make sure that you have the opportunity to talk to people. And if all of that fails, go to people that were recently bought or sold a home, which you can find. And instead of even trying to sell them a home, you just call them up and you say, hey, I'm doing a survey. Can you tell me what your recent concerns were as you bought this home? There's 1,000 ways to break the nut of how do I get in touch with people who have bought or sold a home recently and figure out what their concerns are. Because once you know those, you have everything that you need. You can't assume. You should just ask. And if you ask and you figure it out, you'll be way ahead of where most realtors are. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the most important types of marketing for a real estate agent, full stop, of any kind in any vertical, paid or otherwise. So stay tuned.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's episode number 452, and I'm going to instantly deliver on my promise for the next form of SEO, which is local SEO. All right? Right below that, categorically, because John missed it here. No, never mind. He didn't miss it. Never mind. I'm going to hold on to it.
You got me worried there.
He's
out back for me interrupting him in the first half. He doesn't like it, folks. He doesn't like it.
I can't keep my thoughts straight when you interrupt me. That's why I'm not an entertainer. People would joke with me and I'd be like, and I don't remember what I was going to say anymore. Like, I can only ad lib, but my ad lib is non-tangential. So actually, maybe I could do entertaining, but I certainly can't try to do education. All right. So, John, we're going to talk about leveraging local SEO. We started talking about this before the show, ladies and gentlemen. And John was talking about how he has been doing some paid SEO and how it differs. And
well, I haven't. My partner has. I want to quantify that. But, we've talked a lot. You know, we've done quite a few episodes over the last year, haven't we, about this subject, haven't we? And it's linked to the other categories we discussed in the first half, but it's its own beast in its own right. We could do a whole series on SEO, and then we could do another whole series of 4 or 5 podcasts just on local SEO, because it is a totally different beast. And Google got a whole different department that deals with local search, and then a sub-department that just deals with real estate. And it's linked to your phone, them tracking your IP address, linking content more locally to your phone. It's a whole world, isn't it, Rob?
It really is. It's a whole world. It's a whole new source of revenue. It's a whole new source of development. They've been working on local for a long time, all with the intent of eventually getting to what's called LSAs, local service ads. They wanted another vertical to sell search into, and they wanted one more specific to local business owners, because that particular type of business owner was advertising the least in AdWords, because it wasn't as effective to market your garment shop as like a big brand or somebody who would put out something on AdWords. It made all the sense in the world if you're Sony or whatever to do, you know, ads on Google. Not so much if John was still running his dry cleaning business or I was still running my house cleaning business. So, which was for both of us 20, 30 years ago, everybody. So it was a long time ago. But still, those businesses, anyway, local service ads fixed all that. And local SEO is such a big topic. It deserves its own space. I am not going to try to educate any of you right now on local SEO. All I'm going to say is this, because it's so important that you hear it. I don't know of any type of search engine optimization, an organic traffic stream delivered to a tool that is as trackable, that is as monitorable, that is as monetizable as local service ads. And you can do what John and his partner do, where they really sponsor ads. And we do that too. We just don't focus on it as much. It's like, we'll get you into the ads, but we're not like trying to reinvent the wheel. We're just getting you submitted, and then you've got to do the bidding process yourself and all that stuff. We'll give you some advice. But honestly, you're usually up there against 100 or 200 agents if you're in a reasonably busy metro market. And so you've got this long cycle of people that you're sorting through. However, having said that, it's one of the lowest cost of acquisitions for a deal that you'll ever get. And each agent will probably get one or two per year. So you really, like, just because I'm going, you're up against, you still want to be there. That's the problem. Like, you want to be in the local service ads. And so you can either do it yourself. You can hire an agency to help you. It doesn't matter. But local SEO, the organic ranking, wow, have I seen some agents make so much money. 10, 20 to 1 returns, even after they've hired us at $500 a month with a setup fee. Like, massive returns, because most people don't know how hyperlocal is working. If you were going to focus on one type of SEO and you only had a very limited mindset and budget and all the different things, I am always going to say either local or YouTube. And local is easier because, honestly, it's easier to just hire somebody to do that for you. And it's a much smaller kernel of SEO. Your total knowledge that you need to have is probably 2 hours a month worth of effort, and you can dominate local. That's what I got for local, John. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, I think you're spot on there, because, like, I would say almost 90% of your agent competition will not be doing what you're doing, what Robert's just outlined. So the return you can get if you listen to this episode and then listen to some of our old episodes, it's probably the biggest return you can get and the quickest return you can get for doing stuff yourself, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about something that I have made a lot of money off of due to its complexity, which is technical SEO. And shoot, do I hate talking about it. Most SEO guys love talking about it because it gives us a chance to show you how complicated SEO is. There's 200 things that Google looks at when it looks at a web page. 200 to this very day. AI and other tools are definitely shortening that stream. There are things making that so that it's easier. However, do those things still get looked at? Yeah, they do. They just get measured differently. Google has never stopped looking at the same things on a web page ever. Okay. What's happened is the way that they rank those 200 things has changed. I tend to stick to the basics. What is important right now? It used to be something called link building was very important, and it still is to us. Its importance has decreased by about 80%. It's not that it's not important. It still is. It's just not nearly as important as it has been. User behavior is now the number one signal on web pages. That's it. So making it very easy to say, hey, let's do clickable content. And now, bang, 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 we'll see our SEO skyrocket. And we only need a minimal amount of link building, which is a technical signal. On page, internal linking, I can go on and on. There's lots of stuff that Google looks at on a page. And they still look at it because the page has to be readable. When you look at technical SEO, 90% of it comes down to how readable are the signals. That's it. How readable are the signals? And like even page structure and link structure and all the technical SEO stuff. is really usually so that Google can get to ancillary pages on the website without losing track with the crawlers. So there, that's link strategy right there. Technical SEO is a bother for you guys, for me, for everybody. My recommendation for those of you interested in technical SEO is to go to Moz or to Neil Patel or Neil Patel and Moz are beginner level. And when you're done with them, go to Brian Dean. And when you're done with them, go to Nathan Gotch and Adam White. Okay, that's it. But that's my learning curve. That was my learning curve for the last 10 years. The people that I refer to are geniuses that work with major, major brands. You want to know how I got to where I'm at? I took what I learned, the little crumbs, I applied it to real estate. And that's why I keep saying I'm a real estate SEO expert. And one of the best is that I've worked on more projects of this kind than anybody that I've talked to in a long time. John, take it away. What do you think about technical SEO? You put it on the list. I'm almost a little angry at you because of that.
You normally are. One really big tip, folks, whatever site you are building, I think you should build it on WordPress because it's inherently, if done in the right way, one of the best platforms for a real estate website to be SEO friendly. But a big tip is a free Google product that provides, it's called Google Search Console. And you really, as soon as the website is built or you've built it yourself or you've got something, you should set up a Google Search Console account. You will need a Gmail account, I think, to do it. And it's free and you set it up and then you've got to put the URL of your website in so Google can index the website. And then it will send, if there's any really major problems with the indexing of the website, they will send an email that's linked to the Gmail account. And if you get one of those emails, you really want to look at it and try and get it sorted out. But it's totally free and you really, really do need that because if you've got a ton of problems showing up and they're really the red type that Google's really shouting about, it's really important that you sort them out, in my opinion. I don't know what you think, Robert.
I agree with that for the most part. Google has constantly moved the needle.
Yeah.
And what they've done is they've educated people to the point that now they're starting to talk about Contentful Paint and it's either LFP or LSCP stuff. And I'm not even 100% sure what that is.
I'm not even sure they know.
Like, they keep moving. So I don't disagree with you. You use simple tools. And everybody's got to understand this. I'm an SEO guy. These days, it's like, listen, man, let's try to get as much as the simple stuff right as we can. Let's use a font that's easy to read. Let's link correctly on the pages. But when we start talking about images that are slightly the wrong side and giving us LCP, which, by the way, are yellow and red problematic areas, which is what you just said, here's the thing. You got to be a goddamn genius to go through and figure out exactly what Google is wanting.
I was talking about some of the basics because of the nature of this show, I saw it as a kind of 101 introduction to the subject.
All right. Well, then, yeah, I guess I'll agree with quantifiers. So number five. Because we've got two more subjects, and the bonus subject for this show, I think, is going to be YouTube, which a lot of people don't put into the SEO category. But guess what? As you can tell with the drum roll that we're doing here, we're putting it into that category. It should be in that category. It's always been in that category. And we'll explain why. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about user experience a bit. What does user experience mean to you, John? I mean, obviously, I go on and on and on about it. But what does it mean to you?
Well, you know, you've got to get people to the website and then you've got to provide them content. And it's how easy is the website to navigate? If it's really hard to navigate, they're not going to go and look at other stuff on the website. And Google's watching all of this. And if they just, if they found you in search, what Google wants to see is that they go to the specific bit of content that has drawn them to the website. And then they go and have a look at the rest of the website. That's what Google, and the longer they're on your website, the more Google will give you kudos, and the more Google will think that your website is a really great resource for those type of people. And so they, other content goes up in search. So they're watching all of this, how long somebody stays on a website, do they go to other bits of the website? And they're measuring it all. And so user experience, that's how I judge user experience in the context of this 101 introduction to real estate SEO.
And I like that. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna use an analogy and then we're gonna move on. And this shocked me. I'm not gonna lie to anybody. This surprised me when it happened. We took on an older client, an English lady that I had been talking to for a few years and had always skipped doing any SEO work because it was too complicated and all the things that we talked about on the show.
Does she drive you as mad as I drive you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes. But she's also brilliant, just like you are.
All right. There you go.
Okay. So, yeah. But yeah, honestly, sometimes it's maddening because she's so particular in an odd way.
Yeah.
So we took her on and she was really expressing a lot of doubt, but she'd reached a place in her career where every form of advertising that she had tried had failed. And she knew that she had to burn the ships behind her and just do what we told her to do. And we discovered that while some of her content, like top 10 reasons to move to the city that she lives in, Westfield, and she's made a public case study for us now, so I know I can use this as an example. That content was received okay. But we discovered that she almost practically went viral when we started talking about, like, 10 mistakes that home buyers do. It just, the English accent and what you always comment on, John, like the persnickety behavior. People loved it. They loved it.
That by dark humor, she shares it, does she?
Oh, God. And what's more, it's not just that they loved it. She actually got business almost immediately. In the first few months, because we're posting these edited videos to her hyperlocal Google business profile, and this is where the user experience thing comes in. We posted the one video about five mistakes that buyers make in the city that she's in, and all of a sudden, her profile just screamed up the ranking, just all the way to the top, the bang, just like that. And she got calls. And one of those calls turned into a deal. And it's the kind of calls that everybody wants who's a realtor right now, John, which is listing calls. She got a listing call from another older lady who, just like her, who commented on, God, I've been waiting, you know, kind of like for somebody to basically be speaking my logic, like things that people are going to hate to see in the house. Like, because she got really persnickety about it, you know, like, cleaning the grout in your tile.
Well, it is
funky smells.
Yeah, it is a difficult balance because obviously most people, for understandable reasons, most marketing website content is very bland, very unopinioned, because it's really easy. It's finding that balance of being opinionated, but not so opinionated that you really rub up the majority of people the wrong way. But on the other hand, just so much content on not only real estate websites, but almost every website is a total
bore fest,
isn't it?
Yeah, and that's part of the problem with the internet is that real opinionated content like the podcast dude that causes all these problems. Listen, that it is, there's a massive audience for like legitimate and honest, but in order to be legitimate and honest, you oftentimes have to over embellish parts of your personality to become something that people want to engage with. And I think that Jackie did a very good job, in case she's listening to the show, of balancing her, she was saying it all with a smile, but she did have a lot of really like, and you do this and this and this and this. And it was like, oh, I could see very easily why the video was so popular. Okay. So moving on to the very last little piece of bonus content, and the show has gone long, no surprise. We've got about 5 minutes to make it 40 minutes long, is YouTube SEO. John, it is stunning to me how many people do not realize that this is an SEO thing. It is a property. It is a Google company. It is a marketing service like any other. It's the second top search engine in the world. 80% of the content that was consumed last year was video. The only video platform in the world that competes with Netflix at this point is YouTube. So it is a massive platform where the vast majority of the world spends its time. I search for my music there. I search for my movies there. I search for commercials there. I search for knowledge there. I find every expert for every single subject that I look for on YouTube at this point. John, how about you?
Yeah, I don't. I have a television, but it's not plugged in. I haven't watched American television for almost 8 years, but I do watch stuff, and it's YouTube, you know. If I'm not working or socializing or outside, I'm normally looking at something on YouTube or Twitter or some social media thing. But yeah, it's just massive. It's just the numbers are, you know, I have a couple people I know that have got audience of about 200,000 to 250,000 subscribers. But I've got a tiny audience. I've got nothing like that. I'm envious of that. That's in the WordPress space. I've got somebody I know that's got audience of 250,000. But that's still nothing, nothing. You know, if you're not in the minion mark plus, you don't even register in the world of YouTube. You know, if you got to be like over 3 million subscribers to get into the top 200 list or so, I think. It's just mind-blowing.
It is indeed, because so many people are there and there's so much money to be made on the platform. But all I will say is this. There are 13 to 14 critical things that you can do to a video in terms of allowing Google to categorize it better. The allowing it to categorize it better sets you up with a significant advantage over people who do nothing. That is why there is YouTube SEO. It exists. It's real, and it is actually more complicated. Well, it's not more complicated. It's a harder set of work to optimize a video than it is to optimize a blog post. There's more that goes into it, but there's more probability of success because it is so time consuming to optimize a video. Some of the best YouTubers I know do not fully optimize video. They understand what they should do. They don't do it because they understand how much time it takes, like manually closed captioning versus using a service like Rev to do it for you. Everybody uses Rev, but Google doesn't give you any extra credit for using an automated tool. They give you credit for manually typing out what's on your video, which, by the way, we at Inbound REM still do, which is why I always say to everybody, listen, man, if you want your video to rank, then we are the only game in town when it comes to real estate SEO specifically, because we are the only ones that I know of that are not using any automation inside the entire process. And it is a very long process. It takes you 30 minutes to shoot the video, and maybe you give us a 5 or 10 minute video. With Jackie, it took us 13 hours per video, John, to work on it. 13 hours. she does not spend 13 hours. So it takes us far longer to do the support work than it does to post the video. So YouTube SEO is a thing. Whether or not it's for you is really a question of just how committed are you to the strategy, so on and so forth. For established YouTubers who are already got a lead or two off YouTube channel and you're wondering if there's some way to improve, that's when like a YouTube optimist like SEO is like, oh yeah, you'll just make 10 times more money. Simple. Anyway, John, do you have anything to add?
So what was the other two things apart from the caption? You said there was a couple other things.
Oh, there's 13 things. You want me to go? Okay, so it's...
So I just, you said about three. There was three major things, I think.
Three major. So video captioning is one. Location tagging is the second. And I don't mean location tagging because you can do a city or you can do a lat or longitude. Lat or longitude is the bonus. Okay, so the city is relevant, but not nearly as relevant to Google as the actual latitude and longitude, which connects directly into the Google Maps algorithm. And so now they know and they can connect it into the metadata on the video. And if the two match, they know that you've been honest. Okay, and that is a big deal. They're trying to verify credibility of the video. And so there's these little kind of like tricky, hacky things that they throw in there that they're like, hey, are you real? Are you trying to trick us?
You think I'm real, Rob?
No,
I don't. Well, what's the third and final thing then?
The third and final thing that would be really hacky on video is probably the thing that everybody's already heard. But I'm going to say it anyway. You know, it's video content like video, like the text in the description. So 80% of the people that watch a video do not read your description. You should know that. Everybody knows that. But once they do read the description, the hack that that we have found, of course, for content that is current is if you have an Apple phone, specifically an Apple phone, and sometimes Samsung, but you have to install these apps. But installing emojis and making the video in like the video index really engaging and readable is a massive ranking factor. Massive. So if you're doing that little bit of extra work inside the description, not just the standard cut and paste, these are all my other social channels, which is what every video producer I've ever seen does. Not just that. You handwrite a video description. You use emojis and other excitement visuals so that when somebody is glancing at it, they notice immediately it's different.
So I need to become an emoji king then, Robert.
If you really wanted to have your videos rank on the MailRite channel, yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's my fall for grace, isn't it? I haven't become an emoji. I'm being sarcastic. That's some of the dark English humor.
Oh, I just cursed. I just added 10 minutes to John's editing.
He's had 40 minutes of this. It's going to take him a whole week. It's going to take him a whole week to recover, folks. That's what it's going to take.
All right. Without any further ado, do you have anything else? Those were the three.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning into us today. We really appreciate it. John and I are eternally grateful for your ears and your eyes. And we hope more than anything else that we have been useful to some degree. If we have likes up, thumbs up our content, it makes a big difference. Even if it doesn't make a difference to our business in general, one, it helps us rank better. And two, it gives us a dopamine hit, which Sean and I both need because like all content producers, we're super needy. All right, that's it. Have a great day.